Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is a live Blind Access Journal presentation. I'm Daryl Shandro.
And I'm Allison Hilliker.
And this evening, we are talking with Yanis Vertilis from Centelia. He's a co-founder and part of the Flexi development team. And Flexi is a cool new app. It's all about how to type on iOS, essentially, a new way of typing on your iPhone or, you know, iOS device. What we're going to do, the way we're going to set this up, is we have a few questions that people submitted to us at the beginning, throughout the week before this presentation. So Allison and I are going to present those, and then we are going to take questions from you, from the live audience, let you ask all of those. This presentation then is going to become a podcast over on blindaccessjournal.com. So those who did not get to participate live will get to listen to us later. All right, so what we're going to do then is Allison is going to ask one of the questions, and then I will, and we'll just kind of switch back and forth. And then after each question, we'll bring Yanis in and have him talk with all of us.
Actually, first of all, let's have Yanis, can you tell us a little bit about what Flexi is and how it works?
Hi, everybody. Yanis here from the Flexi team. Good to have you all here. Thanks, Tara and Allison for organizing the talk as well. That's really good. That's in fact the first time we appear to talk live to anybody since we've launched. So now that the sort of the initial buzz from the launch has gone a little bit more quiet and we have time to breathe. So thanks for having us here. Flexi is essentially a typing technology and a typing application which is designed for visually impaired and completely blind users of iOS devices to enter text using their iPhone. Unlike other solutions out there, we focus on a technology that is purely software, so you don't need to carry a keyboard with you. And our aim is to help people type as quickly and as easily as any sighted person does. It's back to Darren and Allison for the next question from me.
Okay, great. So that is really fascinating, and I'm excited to learn about Flexi. Definitely, I've been enjoying using the app myself. So tell me a little more about what inspired you to create this app.
Basically, we hear from a lot of blind users that typing is one of their biggest frustrations when using touchscreen devices. We see a lot of potential with touchscreen devices, with all the other applications that are there, but in fact, if you can't type text efficiently, then you'll only be able to consume content on these devices rather than create it. And you might think that is unique to a blind user, but in fact, typing text is a frustration on these devices for sighted as well as blind people. And so we set out some time ago to try to find ways to make entering text into a mobile more efficiently. And we did a lot of work on that. And at some point, naturally you start to wonder, we need a benchmark. So what is a good benchmark for a typing technology? And a good benchmark is having someone who is blind being able to use it. It's not just, as an accessibility feature, but really it's a good benchmark for any technology to make it accessible at the start. That's a great benchmark to hit for any technology. So we set that as the benchmark, and we set out and did a lot of innovations to try to make something that would be useful for the visually impaired community, and we decided to invest our time and effort into this market because we think this is the market where our technology has the biggest application.
Along these lines, then, there are a number of different techniques ways of doing things with Flexi to sort of improve the accuracy, because it's important that you know, you have your fingers, your finger, some people I think use two on the keyboard to get the words right. So I got a question here. What techniques do you suggest for people to improve their speed and accuracy?
Sure, thanks for that. I think it was actually, this was a very common question that people asked before the show. We've tried to keep the interface of Flexi very close to how a person would type on a hardware laptop, and very close to the normal QWERTY typing paradigm that people are used to from typing on desktop computers and laptop computers. So you've got a QWERTY keyboard, and what we ask people to do is to try and forget about the fact that what they're typing on is on a touchscreen, and try and forget about trying to be accurate with every letters with every letter they press, which is how people normally type on iPhones. And if you instead try to tap lightly once on every letter where you roughly think it is, and try to imagine that your phone is like a normal keyboard, and try to tap lightly where the letters are, swipe right after you finished the words, and let the program guess the word that you meant, because in most cases the guesses are right. In, you know, 80 or 90% of the cases the predictions are right, and it gets better the more you're used to the system. And so and so don't worry too much about trying to find the correct letters. That's the biggest tip for someone who's just getting started with Flexi. I think that's the best tip we give to people.
Great, those are some good tips. I appreciate that, definitely. And I was wondering, will there be other support for other languages? And if so, when will those be available?
Sure. So we, as you know, the initial Flexi submission that we've made to the App Store supports English only. The algorithm is designed so that we can easily add additional languages, and we've had a lot of requests for that from users from around the world. We've started working on the first translation of Flexi and seeing how that will go. But we will basically integrate languages subject to demand. So, for example, we've seen a lot of demand for a lot of European languages, as you can imagine. Spanish and French and Italian and Dutch have been requested many times. So we're looking at those first. And you know, there's nothing stopping us from having as many languages as we want, provided, of course, there is demand for us to do that, and there are users in these countries that would use Flexi.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much. I'm sure that a lot of users can't wait to use Flexi with those languages. It'll be fascinating to see how the word prediction algorithm works with those other languages, because it's pretty fascinating here in English for sure. So are there plans for Flexi to support, you know, the tight keyboard integration that you could get, for instance, if you went to the jailbreak side of the house and supported jailbroken iOS devices? Any plans in that area?
Our plan is, we understand that one of the biggest barriers to the technology that we have is integration. The more integrated we are with the device, the more the use of the technology. And of course, within iPhone, we have certain limitations as to what we can do and what we cannot do. So for example, we cannot replace the keyboard across the device, but what we can do is we can work with application makers. So for example, companies that make Twitter applications or instant messaging applications or email applications, and by working with them, we can integrate Flexi into their apps. And what we've done is we've built the facility to do that, and we've made it really easy for a developer to integrate our technology. Literally, all they have to do is change one line in their programming code, and they can have Flexi integrated. Since we've announced that 2 weeks ago, we've commenced discussions with some major applications that have expressed an interest. to integrate Flexi. And so we're pursuing those. Of course, what we've said is that for the first few of those companies that wish to do that, if Flexi is to improve the accessibility of their apps, then we won't even charge anything for the benefits, because what we want to do at an early stage is have as many people try Flexi as we can. So that's the direction we're going to. We haven't pursued trying to make Flexi an app for jailbroken phones. We know that obviously that would, if we did that, it would mean that someone with a jailbroken phone could have the keyboard across the device and would have a great experience. However, we do know that companies that develop for jailbroken iPhones are not seen in very good in very good light by Apple and by other device manufacturers, and we wouldn't want to aim at that market, because ultimately we do want to speak with the large application developers and device manufacturers.
Now, you talked about integration with other apps. Can you tell us about what other apps are planning to work with Flexi, and how does that integration work?
We can't disclose the names of the companies that we're working with until we actually have completed the integration with them, and I guess that's because they will want to promote the fact that they were the first to have Flexi when they're ready to do that. However, we are talking with some pretty major ones, and we have invited our users of Flexi to tell us as well which applications you guys use a lot. You know, the apps that I use are probably different than the ones you use. So we've asked users to tell us who they think we should speak to. And we'll follow up on those recommendations.
Okay. I was also wanting to understand. We were asking also how this integration works. So what I mean by that is, so if an app supports Flexi, what does that mean? How does the Flexi keyboard come up? What would be a typical scenario in an app that might support using Flexi for typing?
Typically, when an app runs and it has a keyboard, so let's say, for example, you run an email application and you go to compose a new email. That application, in its programming code, will say to the iPhone, please bring up a keyboard so the user can enter text into that email box. And normally they do that, and the source code they write calls up the normal keyboard of the iPhone. The type of integration we're talking to applications about is when we know that some user is a voiceover user, which an application can detect, then instead of loading the normal Apple keyboard, it would load the Flexi keyboard. And it would function exactly as it does within our app. But rather than having to copy and paste the text, it will be right in their app. So you won't have to have Flexi as a separate app and copy and paste, but you would have it right within that mail application.
Okay, so that sounds fascinating. I have a follow-up on that. So do I imagine that voiceover users would get a choice in that? In the app's settings, whether or not they want the Flexi keyboard to come on automatically, even though they are using VoiceOver?
Yes, that's the idea. So the idea would be to give people the option of using Flexi if they want, and have something in the settings of the app that enables Flexi if you want. Remember that Flexi currently only supports English, so in any case, we'd have to have some setting to enable people to type in other languages and so on, at least until Flexi can support every language that these applications wish to support.
Would there be an application for sighted people? Like, would there be a benefit to someone sighted using Flexi? Do you know of anyone sighted who uses it and enjoys it?
Yeah, I use it. But apart from that, the technology does have application to sighted people, and we're aware of that. you know, as I said, typing is frustrating for sighted as well as for blind people on iPhones and on all smartphones for that matter. We have focused on the visually impaired market, and we've made a lot of innovations specifically for that market, both in terms of the interface and in terms of the prediction engine of Flexi. So currently Flexi works knowing that the person using it is visually impaired, and it would take some changes to make that model applicable to a sighted user. It would take a lot of changes both to the interface and the engine. We'd have to stop the program from speaking back to you and things like that. And that's not something we are going to immediately pursue because we're focused on the visually impaired market. But for sure we are aware, and people have told us that you know, we should be looking at the sighted market as well at some point.
Flexi is available in the App Store right now, which is something I'm really excited about. And tell us about the pricing for Flexi. How much is it, and how do I get it?
So currently, Flexi is a paid application. In the U.S., the pricing is $14.99. In other countries, the pricing varies depending on which country you're in. Apple sets those exchanges. I think in the United Kingdom, it is £10.50, and I can't remember the euro price and the Australian dollar price. So it's a paid app, it's a paid download, and you'll find it under productivity, and it's spelled F-L-E-K-S-Y.
So now we're moving into the open discussion part of this presentation. That was all of the planned questions we had in mind. So I'd like to hear from some other folks on this conference who would like to ask some questions of Yanis about Flexi.
Yeah, hi. Are you guys able to demonstrate it, like, let's say, somebody trying to send a text message?
There are, first of all, there are some demonstrations out there. There's an AppleViz, applevis.com. There's a demonstration podcast by them. There's the Tech Doctor blog and podcast. Robert Carter has done a demonstration of Flexi. And I believe Vision Australia has done a demo of Flexi, David Woodbridge's group. But okay, Yanis, how would you feel about coming up with a very quick demo for us?
That's fine. I don't know if you can hear the phone, but I hope you can. So if say I wanted to write, let's say I wanted to write hello to somebody. So what I would normally do is I tap lightly where each of the letters are, so H-E-L-L-O, and I don't know if you can hear the keyboard clicks there, but I'll start now, so H-E-L-L-O, and I swipe right, and Flexi will guess that I wanted to type the word hello. If you noticed, I didn't get any feedback on a letter-by-letter basis, because I don't actually have to press the correct letters. I didn't actually press exactly where H was and E was and L was and so on. So once I've written what I wanted to write, and I can write hello there, so I write there. I can then invoke the menu of the program. And the menu gives me various options. So I can copy the text or I can email. Or I can send it as a message and so on. And if I were to choose the email, for example, it will open a new email message with the text I've written already pre-populated, and I can just add the recipient and press send, and off it goes. And I can also save different destinations that I email or message frequently, and that would also mean I don't have to find the recipient. There will be a button there that says send to blah blah, the email that I normally email frequently.
Hello everyone. I had a question. There was some discussion during the NFB convention on one of the podcasts from Serotalk about a free version of the app being made available for people to try, and I'm wondering what the current status of that application is. There's quite a number of people who are interested in Flexi but would rather want to try the app first before spending the $15. I was wondering if you can comment on that, please.
Sure, it's a highly requested thing to have a free to try version. And indeed, I think we mentioned in the NFP that was something we would look to do. We have some limitations as to what we can do in terms of a free app in the App Store. So, for example, if you have a free app there, you have to provide some functionality. And if you have a free app where people have to make an in-app purchase, so basically you provide the free app and then you invite users to buy the full version if they wish, there are certain limitations, again, as to what we can do on a free basis. So, for example, Apple doesn't allow us to have a version that you can try for, say, 30 days and then buy the full version after that if you want to continue using it. There are ideas that we're still trying to think about and develop our thinking. But we basically, if we are to provide a free app, we have to find a meaningful way of doing that that gives people enough opportunity to understand both the capabilities of the app and its interface, and at the same time meets the guidelines that Apple sets us for what we can provide on a free app. So that's why something like that isn't out yet, and that's why we've gone for a fully paid version at the launch.
Great. Well, that's good to know. Does anyone else have a question?
Yes, this is Ken Roberts, Allison and Dale, and I don't know how to pronounce the other name. This is Ken Roberts, by the way.
Okay, go ahead. What's your question?
Well, I was actually listening to the podcast that David Woodbridge did, and I was kind of confused on, you said that you feel what letter or where the letter should be. Now, with the iPhone, that's a pretty, you know, big screen to work with, though. So would it be like a good, like, center point since there's no, like, markers for on a touch screen, what would you recommend be like a good marker point to keep track of where you are in, you know, so you don't get lost all over the place on the keyboard?
Basically, Flexi follows the familiar QWERTY layout that you know on a keyboard. So it's the same kind of layout that you have on any QWERTY keyboards. We've done certain things that are slightly different than the Apple one. So the whole keyboard comes to a little bit higher on the screen. So if you imagine the normal Apple keyboard, our QWERTY row, the top row, is a little bit higher. And also, because we don't have a space bar, the bottom row is a little bit lower on the screen. And so the whole keyboard is expanded on the screen, and you have a little bit more space to type than you normally do. Now, having said that, even if you don't have to worry about pressing each key correctly, as I said. So if you imagine the QWERTY keyboard and type roughly where you think the letters are, that should work. There is a mode as well that can help you orient yourself, which is if you put your finger on the keyboard and press and hold your finger on the keyboard, it will start reading to you every letter where it is, every button where it is. So you can move your finger around the screen and hear back where the letters are. So if ever you feel that you need a point of reference, you can do that and hear where the letters are.
Great. Anyone else have a question?
Debbie Black.
And after Debbie, Roger.
Okay, Debbie, you're up. Then Roger.
Okay, very simple question. Is there any special story to how Flexi got its name?
Yeah, there is. We like the idea that Flexi is flexible enough to the needs of a visually impaired user. So rather than asking a visually impaired user to type differently than a sighted person and use either special equipment or a special way of typing, Flexi is designed so that a visually impaired person would type very much like a sighted person does. And that's where the flexibility comes. It's a system that is flexible to adapt to the needs of the person using it. But if you notice, there is a specific spelling to Flexi, so we write it with a KS. And the reason for that is, you can hear probably from my accent that I'm Greek in origin, as are our co-founders. So, and the word Lexi with a KS means words in Greek. And often when we type Greek to Greek relatives, we have to use some Latin spelling because some computer systems just don't understand Greek, the Greek alphabet. And so Lexi with a KS refers both to words but also to some of our frustrations when we have to email our parents and so on, and we have to use our own frustrating funny typing systems on the phones, and we wish there was some better way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was wondering why it wasn't like XY or something. Thank you.
All right, that's really interesting. Wow, that was a good question. I liked that. All right, Roger, you are up next. What's your question?
Yeah, good question, Debbie. I was just curious if you could demonstrate if Flexi gets the word wrong, how the user sort of will handle that situation, because I know that you said most of the time that it does get the word right,
it entered the room.
But sometimes, you know, it will get it wrong, and then what do you do? Can you demonstrate that, please?
Sure, yeah. It doesn't, I have to say, it doesn't happen very often, but and I think actually when I heard one podcast where someone was trying to demonstrate that feature and just couldn't get it to make a mistake, but because we've developed it, we know where it's weakest. So if I want to type the word in, so in, and sometimes Flexi will just give me the word on. So I've just tried that now.
On.
So if you've heard it, it just said on. And what I have to do then is if I make a swipe gesture with my fingers, if I swipe down on the screen, it will give me alternative suggestions to its original prediction. So it will give me in,
okay,
and it will give me okay, and I can just swipe up and down and navigate between the different suggestions. So in 99% of the cases or 95% of the cases, it should be correct in either the first suggestion, in which case you don't need to do anything, or the second. So all you have to do is one swipe to get to the second suggestion.
And, you know, how will it handle, like, say, people's names? Because sometimes people have, you know, unusually spelled names.
I have one of these names. So if you remember, I mentioned to you earlier that if you press and hold on the keyboard, so if you put your finger on the keyboard and keep it there, Flexi will start pronouncing the different letters. So what you need to do to type a name, for example, is to do that for every letter of the name, which is basically very similar to how you normally type on the iPhone. You go letter by letter, and you make sure you hit the letters correctly. And if you've done that, once you swipe, the system will not autocorrect. You will keep the name that you've written. And there's a way then to also save that name to the dictionary with one swipe up. And so the next time you come to write that name, that's already saved. You don't have to write it manually anymore. You can write it as you do any other word.
Very good. Thank you.
Hi, this is Rich Cavallaro with a question.
All right, Rich, go ahead.
Is there going to be a way to import or export dictionaries in future versions?
The next update of Flexi, which is coming up, we hope, in a few days, will give you an option to export your dictionary and to import that dictionary if you wish, and you can export it from one device and import it to another device and so on. So you can import and export the dictionary. We're also planning to have the dictionary saved in iCloud. So basically, if you have Flexi installed in various devices, they will all synchronize the dictionary between them. That's not coming in the version in a few days, but we're planning to have that within a month or so.
Terrific. Any other questions?
Rob Castrovillani.
Okay, go ahead.
What would be the price in Canada, or would that be the same as the U.S.?
I'm going to have to check that. I'm checking actually as I speak. But basically, the way the App Store works is we set our United States pricing, and then the App Store converts that pricing in the different sort of countries. So they set our Euro price and our UK price and so on. I've noticed just here as I'm talking that the Canada price is the same as the United States.
Okay, anyone else?
Mark Workman with a question.
Okay, you're sounding pretty quiet, but go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about iOS integration. I think that integrating into as many apps as possible is great, but it seems like the ultimate goal is iOS integration. And so I was wondering if you have had any conversations with Apple. I'm sure you're not going to be able to say if you have, but I'll ask that anyway. There's a couple related questions. If iOS integration, if you feel that that is the ultimate goal, and if we can do things to help that. So I've emailed accessibility@apple.com and encouraged them to get in touch with you because I think it's such a fantastic app. So do you think that's a good idea, is for people to contact Apple and encourage them to get in touch with you?
Thank you, and thank you for proactively actually emailing Apple. That's great. Yes, we think integrating with as many apps as we can is rational given how young we are as a company and as an application, and the fact we've only been in the App Store for about a week. But our ultimate goal is to provide the best possible user experience. And starting from that, I think the best way to provide the user experience we want is to work with the device manufacturer or the operating system provider directly. So either with Apple if we're talking iOS, or with Samsung, or with Google if we're talking Android, etc. So I think by working with the manufacturer directly, we can optimize the technology to the device, and we can integrate across the device, which means with every app there is. Good question on if we would like people to get in touch with Apple. I think that would be a lot for us to ask people to do that. I'll just say it's in our plans and hopes that we speak with these people and with other device manufacturers to make this technology a standard for every user who buys the device.
Thank you for that, Yanis. For all of us, if we want something to happen, it's a good thing for us to advocate for it. So I would urge everyone, all of us, to write to accessibility@apple.com if we would like to see Apple, make a Flexi keyboard option in iOS in the future. Speaking of the future, I had a question here about Android support. Are you going to support that platform anytime soon, or what can you say about that?
Sure. We have a couple of Android devices in our lab, and we've been testing them. We focused on iOS initially because that's where we see most visually impaired users being active. We see most blind people go and buy an iPhone. And until recently, Android was just not accessible enough, and people weren't investing in the technology. We've seen some improvements with recent releases that they've made, in particular the last one, which I think has just started updating on certain devices, which seems more accessible as a device. So if we see some traction and if we see people actually telling us, you know what, we are going to be buying Android phones now, the technology is easy to port into Android, and we'll be doing that. And by the way, on Android, because it's an open architecture, we can provide a keyboard technology across the device. We don't have to be a separate app. We can provide a keyboard that can be used in any app within the Android system.
Okay, that's great. Do we have any other questions?
Yes, this is Ken Roberts again. I have another point I'd like to make.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I've actually seen what would be practical is, how when you go into the keyboard settings that they decide to put it, in the integrated in the iOS, is to stick it in the international keyboards and have it as an optional, keyboard. And then that way, people, if they want to, how like you have the emoji keyboard, you can switch back and forth between the two, and then you can have your Apple keyboard as your default, and then if you wanted to use the Flexi keyboard, you could hit a button by the space bar or something, say flexing keyboard or something, and then it would switch to that.
Even we've seen the emoji. It's an interesting one. We've seen the emoji guys and what they've done. But unfortunately, as a third party developer, unless we have a relationship with Apple and we work with them, we can't provide a separate keyboard either in the international settings or anywhere on the phone that replaces the keyboard on every device, on every app. If we worked with Apple, then they may be able to give us the opportunity to do that, or they may. They may give us the platform to do that. The rule is currently that any app that you develop can do anything it wants, or not anything it wants, but can do things within the app environment, but cannot do things with other apps. So if we wanted to change the keyboard in another app, we have to just work through Apple for that.
I see. That makes sense. All right. Are there other questions?
Tina, you have the question.
All right. Tina, you're up next.
Well, when I was they're actually Daryl's house over there last month. I was able to kind of play around with the initial version of it. And what I got to thinking was you might also want to market this to people with physical disabilities as far as like motor impairments and things, just because even for a typical on-screen keyboard, it would be difficult for some people to have the fine motor coordination to aim their finger at a certain letter. But if they get close within a certain reasonable amount, I'm not sure if you'd want to, like, maybe for them show, like, big squares as far as, like, regions of the keyboard so they can kind of aim for a big square, you know, maybe a fourth of the keyboard or a, you know, eighth or whatever, maybe like an eighth or something. Then maybe it would be functional for people who are blind, but then also people with fine motor coordination disabilities.
I apologize for jumping in, but you're right. Somebody with a stylus would be good at inputting information.
I'll try not to be too technical, but a lot of people have told us that that they want a version of Flexi where they don't have to switch VoiceOver off to type. So currently when you open Flexi, in order to type, you triple-click the home button. That switches VoiceOver off. Then you type, then you triple-click the home button again, and you use an interface to send the message and so on. In an update that we're planning for Flexi, you won't have to do that. You will be able to use Flexi while VoiceOver is still running. Not only does this make it easier to use for a blind person because you no longer have to keep triple-clicking the home button, but it also means that Flexi will then be able to work with a lot of the attachments that some other users use. So, for example, with braille displays, with high contrast displays, external displays, etc. Because most of these accessories only work when VoiceOver is on. We plan to issue that update, and at that point, yes, I think these people with reduced mobility may be able to use Flexi because, as you say, you don't have to hit every letter correctly. If you hit them roughly correctly, that should work, and so they will find it useful.
But I was thinking that for sighted people with mobility impairments, maybe you could, maybe have an option to set in the settings to maybe turn squares on the screen, you know, kind of defining regions so that they can aim for the region. Maybe break it up into 8 or 12, you know, like kind of sub-quadrants. I don't know exactly how that works, but some kind of thing where they can at least aim for a certain square, you know, visually if they have vision to be able to approximate where they're going to kind of tap the screen.
Oh, I see. That's a great idea. I know the rest of my team is listening in, by the way, so I know they're taking down ideas, and we've had amazing feedback and ideas from all our users. So thank you for that, and we look into how we can basically do that in a way that is useful.
Thank you.
All right. Interesting stuff. Do we have any other questions?
Hello. This is Bill.
Okay, Bill. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Ioannis. How long did it take for you to develop Flexi?
So Flexi has been under development for about 18 months and by a team of people. It's not a really simple technology to implement, and in fact, typing on smartphones is generally a very hard problem to solve, whether the user is blind or sighted. And so it's the engine of Flexi and what goes on behind the scenes is quite a complicated algorithm, which took some time to develop, and you might see that on the app description, but has some patents attached to it and so on. And that has been our approach. We wanted to create something that was impressive when you get your hands on it. And to do that, these days, you can't develop an app that takes you a weekend to develop. It takes months of work. And you know, only once you have real innovation and really difficult problems to solve and really innovative solutions, I think you can say you've got a technology that will last the test of time. And so it took us, I think, in answer to your question, it took us about 18 months from when we started to when the first version of Flexi hit the app.
Wow, it sounds like it's been in development for quite some time. We appreciate all the effort that you put into that, for sure. All right, I was wondering if you could tell us about what you see as being the future of Flexi and what can we as users expect next?
Next in our roadmap, first of all, we're planning two or three updates to the program, which will not only fix some bugs and initial teething problems, but provide some more functionality, and we've been developing those based on user feedback. The first of these we submitted to Apple over a week ago, so we're expecting to have it in the App Store very shortly, but we have two more coming up, which provide more functionality that has been suggested to us. And at the same time, we're pursuing the integration with more apps. So we do hope that at some point we'll be able to announce a third-party app that has integrated Flexi. These are the two immediate things we're doing. And going forward in the future, what we hope to do is to achieve a larger user base by integrating with more apps and by ideally at some point working with manufacturers to provide better typing for blind users of their phones. We think, to be honest, we think that kind of thing should come as standard at some point with the phones. You shouldn't have to get separate apps to provide the typing experience. And we think our technology is capable of considerably improving what comes with the phone, whichever phone you buy.
Tina, you with a question?
Go ahead, Tina.
Well, I've heard about this in context of the iPhone. How does it work with an iPad, or is it compatible with an iPad? And, you know, because there's a lot more screen real estate there in terms of trying to get any kind of accuracy as far as finger placement. And I have an iPod Touch, but I work with a client who has an iPad, and I sometimes get lost on the screen in terms of trying to figure out where some of the elements are, just because it is so big. Can you address maybe how Flexi works on an iPad?
Like any iPhone application will run on an iPad, not optimized for the iPad, but will run on the iPad either as emulating the iPhone, or you press a button and it doubles the app in size. And in that mode, we think Flexi runs on the iPad now. However, as you say, the iPad gives us more screen real estate and more space to type. And so what this means is we can provide an even better experience on the iPad, because you can then use all your fingers to type rather than two or three fingers to type. You can use all your fingers to type a lot quicker. And because you have more real estate, it will feel a lot more comfortable to type. So we do plan an iPad version of Flexi, which will use these facts to optimize the experience for the iPad. For the time being, Flexi as it is on the iPhone will run on an iPad and will provide the same functionality, but it isn't optimized for the iPad and the opportunities that the platform...
Giannis, it's been great to have you on with us. I remember at CSUN, you'll remember this, Allison, remember I ran... ran over and said, "Hey, Allison, you got to check this awesome thing out."
He did. He actually did that. So, and I'm very glad that I came by to see what it's about because it has been an incredible app to work with. I have enjoyed learning about and using Plexi, and I really thank you, Yanis, for talking with us tonight. I appreciate you joining us and telling us all about Plexi and where it's at and where it's planning to go next. So thank you so much. I've enjoyed this.
Yes, and I also thank you, Yanis, for coming on with us for this live presentation. I'd like to thank everybody who asked great questions tonight, whether submitting them ahead of time or asking them live. And I'd also like to thank Debbie Black and the gang at outofsight.net for promoting us and hosting us tonight. This has been wonderful. So stay tuned for additional live presentations from us, podcasts from us, radio shows, and other things. Stay tuned to blindaccessjournal.com and interactive.acbradio.org, where you can hear Allison and Karen and me and others on the Desert Cafe production crew, and all kinds of good stuff from us. So, with that, thanks everybody. Have a great night and an amazing week coming up. And I'm Daryl.
And I'm Allison.
And that's all from us. Bye.
Thank you.